All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into Hip Hop Hype Podcast. This is episode 3. Today we are going to be discussing G Herbo and Jack Harlow, two young guys coming out in the last couple of months with some really big projects, getting a lot of attention lately. As per usual, I'm joined by co-host Young Dell, along with myself, Sonny Drizzle. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Lovely evening. How about you?
It's hot as shit out here. I don't know how you guys are doing down in the swamp, but it is roasting up in the burg.
Yeah, I mean, things are cooling off.
Well, it helps if you got the central AC, so we'll get there at some point.
You don't have central AC?
Nah, son, we got the window units. We're moving up eventually, though, don't worry.
Hey, man.
It's an old house. We didn't all just buy new houses.
It's all good. I'm out here trapping.
Yeah, speaking of trapping, we've got G Herbo with his PTSD album to discuss, as well as the deluxe that also dropped. And then we're actually going to be starting things off with a young kid by the name of Jack Harlow. Most of our focus will be on his very, very recent project, Sweet Action. And then we'll talk about some of his other stuff, too, because he's, you know, so young and so new to the scene that there's a chance we could cover most of his discography. It's hard to really say who's bigger at this point because they've both had a meteoric rise and, you know, they've both had top 10 either singles or albums on the Billboard charts recently. So without too much further ado, I'm going to let you tell us a little bit about what you thought of Harlow's album.
Yeah, absolutely. The lead-off track is What's Poppin', you know, his current single. And I remember I was driving, listening to the radio, and I heard the beat, and I heard this nice cold flow. I said, damn, who is this? You know, I had to hit the Google Shazam, and it said, Jack Harlow was popping, and I said, oh, this young cat can rap. And then I was shocked he was white. You know,
right?
It was like, oh, this dude, he has flow.
I am willing to bet that is like a near identical experience to like half of the fans like currently listening to him. Like, unless you are from, where's he from? Louisville, Kentucky. You know, he was big in the local scene there for several years now. But that was the same thing that happened to me. You know, I'm listening to like a compilation or like a playlist or something, and that song comes on, and immediately you notice the beat is just fucking fire, and then, you know, the kid's got bars and you're like, who's this? Like, this is fucking catchy, you know, it grabs your attention. So I mean, I think I fell into it head first the same way you did, and I bet a lot of people did as well. He is for sure getting a lot more fans right now because he has the What's Poppin' remix with who was it, DaBaby and Lil Wayne, and who was the other one? Tory Lanez. Yeah
Tory Lanez.
Which, you know, I liked it. It was still heat, but I like the original better. I don't know, but I'm glad for him getting those guest spots, 'cause I think it's going to bring him to like the whole world as an audience.
Absolutely. And actually it gives me hope, you know, when I hear young talent like that. I thought, all was left were these mumble rappers, but this dude, he has bars, and I want to share some of my favorite bars from that track.
Yeah, from What's Poppin'. Go ahead.
He spits. Oh, yeah. He says, this is where my head is. I feel resentment from every direction. Even some homies be wearing expressions. I be discouraged from sharing my blessings. It's like, damn, that's some wisdom coming from a young man.
That was my favorite line, too, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's some other fire bars in there. Did you catch any other bars on there that you like?
In that particular track, I actually just kept going with that same verse because he switches up from the, you know, discouraged from sharing my blessings. We used to share a connection. Now it just feels like it's wearing and stretching. I'm getting real sick of taking advice from people that never could stare at reflections.
Wow.
And I mean, he'll just go on like that for the whole song with like just hit after hit and line after line that, you know, like he's sticking the landing with all of it.
How old is he?
So a little backstory on this kid. He is now 22 years old.
Okay.
He just got signed to Atlantic Records. He's been doing a lot of, you know, smaller label and indie type stuff for the last roughly like 5 years. Let's see here. Of course, he had What's Poppin' peak actually at number two on the Billboard Hot 100. So, like, you know, huge hit. The kid's from Louisville, Kentucky. Not, of course, a traditionally very well-known, you know, hip-hop mecca. But, of course, you know, the South, don't sleep on the South. Every city's got, you know, one or two guys flying under the radar who are actually, you know, pretty good. There's a funny story I found out earlier this week. So he's been rapping since he was like 12 as a kid. He, like, him and his buddy, I guess, recorded some sort of shitty demo on a Guitar Hero microphone and a laptop. And they called this album Rippin' and Rappin' and started selling copies like of burnt CDs at their middle school. And from that, you know, the classic kind of story of, you know, passing around mixtapes and stuff, and he got some YouTube buzz, started selling out a lot of local shows, did some minor tours, and then, you know, all of a sudden he gets signed to the bigger labels, and he drops some, let's see here, he had major label debut mixtape was Loose. That was an album that had some cool guest spots with Sci-High, The Prince, and K-Camp. Again, like some Southern rappers who are a little under the radar, but very, you know, very good. And that brings us all the way up to 2020 with Sweet Action.
In that 10-year span, he went from Guitar Hero mics to signed to Atlantic.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty damn impressive.
It is, and there's another funny little, like, story he told in one of his interviews. Apparently, he's, like, sitting in the backseat of his car when he's 12, like driving with his mom. And he's like, hey, mom, like, what do I have to do to be like the best rapper in the world? And she had just read some like self-help book. So she's like, well, I read some statistic where you have to practice something for like, whatever, like 4,000 hours in order to become like a master at it. And then they did the math and it was like, yeah, if you practiced rapping for like 2 to 4 hours every day for the next like 4 years, you'd probably make it. And like, that's like literally what he did.
Man, that's some solid advice from mama.
I know, like, shout outs to mom for putting him on. That was well done.
I remember watching an interview with him, and he was crediting, you know, his rap success to his mom, but how she would put on Biggie, Tupac, Eminem,
yeah,
Dre, while he was like super, super young. So
that's interesting, because those then would be obvious influences, but if you're making like some quick comparisons, like, of course, the whole like white rapper thing immediately is at risk of pigeonholing him with comparisons to like, is he like Eminem, or is he like, you know, Machine Gun Kelly, or is he like G-Eazy, who he recently had another big single called Moana with. I didn't really like that song that much, but I would pick a very young Mac Miller as my sort of reference point for comparing Harlow's stuff. I just think they have a lot of similarities in their early works.
I think that comparison is fair. If we jump into the second track,
yeah,
in my opinion, Too Stylish, it almost sounds like a B-side of Drake.
Okay, yeah.
And there's like, I feel like he, I don't want to say bit his style from him, but you can tell there's heavy, heavy influence with Drake. You know, that particular track, it's a good little party jam. But I just kept hearing Drake. I could not escape from hearing Drake.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, it's slick. And like you said, it's almost like just a slight off brand of like, you know, I mean, obviously, it's tough to be compared to Drake or some of the like biggest in the game. But that is, it's both, I think, his biggest strength and maybe something to be concerned about as a weakness, is just that like he knows like the format. He has the lyrical skills and he's a student of, you know, hip hop to the point where it sounds like he's basically making new versions of, you know, whoever, you know, like your favorite, you know, popular rappers have been lately. That's awesome that he can do that. The only thing is like, is that is that going to be his thing? Is he going to be not a one-hit wonder, but sort of short-lived because he's too much of a carbon copy, or like the B-list, you know, celebrity versus the A-list? Or does he have, you know, maybe something like a Mac Miller later in his career, like have some more tricks up his sleeve and some more gas in the tank to like really put his own stamp on things?
For sure. He probably just needs to hang out with more creative people. Maybe just chill with some like an Anderson .Paak.
Sure. Go out to the West Coast and like all young rappers do, and, you know, start kicking it with the Illuminati.
But don't do drugs.
Right. Just stay off the codeine and everything else if possible.
And the heroin.
Well, opioids in all of their forms would be probably something to avoid if you want to. Yeah. But on that note, also, like, again, RIP Mac as a Pittsburgh guy and, you know, someone with very close ties to the community in which Mac Miller grew up and represented. Still hurts these days, but it's nice to see his music living on. But
salute.
Back to the current Jack Harlow. We've got it's a really short project. This Sweet Action only has, I think, 7 tracks on it. The next one after track 2, Stylish, which again is like a pretty slick track, is the title is I Want to See Some Ass. And I'm actually not really a fan of this song just because I feel like it's a little cheesy, but I do completely understand why he made it, because I remember reading something that like Future and DJ Esco were talking about as they got real big in the South. It was that, like, you know, if you're in the South, you're judged by like your strip club appeal. So like, is this like the hit single you can put on in the strip club and like people start throwing money around and girls start shaking their asses? So like he made that song, you know?
Well, problem number one, it's not really a song that girls can dance to. Or at least what I envision when I'm,
yeah, you know,
when I'm sitting in places where my wife probably doesn't want me to be. But
so is that because it has a slightly almost like off kilter, like calypso style beat, like the something about the BPM is off, or is it just like the lyrics? It's a little too like you got to be drunk to embrace it.
It's definitely the calypso beat. I mean, it just doesn't belong anywhere.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I felt too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like you made the right song as far as the lyrics go, but it did not really match up with the beat for getting it put on in the strip club.
It almost seems like the track was rushed in that sense. Like, all right, he was just going through some songs and I'm just going to place it right there.
Sure. And I mean, he's young and I don't know what his workflow is, but I have no idea if he's like a dude who's like sits down and does the one take wonder, like writes it and records it all in the span of a couple hours or a couple of days, or if he's like the guy who's really meticulously crafting each song and taking a long time on it.
If you had to choose which one that would be from listening so far,
I would say the first. I think he just has bars. He's young. He's hungry and reckless and is just saying fuck it and, you know, just going for it.
Absolutely, but if you want to make a name for yourself in this rap game, you got to be meticulous, you got to put in the work.
Right, which is why we're agreeing that the kid has some very good lyrical ability, nice delivery, but is he going to take that step up from, you know, C-list or B-list to not be just be perceived as another white guy kind of like copying the format?
Only time will tell. The next track here, Smells Like Incense.
Dig it.
Yeah, I definitely digged it too. Jack has a knack for writing these catchy hooks.
Yes.
You know, and hopefully, you know, he actually writes his own stuff. Because I was just like listening to it, I was like, man, it sounds like one of these tracks where there's like a production team and like 4 writers.
Oh, man, I hope not.
Discussing amongst, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, like, again, like, we have no idea. He's young and we haven't had a lot of time to get to know. I mean, you could say the same thing about Drake, who we just mentioned, and his whole like ghostwriting conspiracy, whatever. But I don't know that
a conspiracy.
I have a whole show about that.
I've been through some of Drake's track listings and there's definitely more names than Aubrey Graham.
Well, he's too busy spending all his money to write all his lyrics, so.
Yeah.
Smells Like Incense. I love the hook. He's it's just basically Harlow's entire focus and lyrical repertoire is like stunting. It's just basically talking shit, you know, being, you know, talking that fly shit. It's not super like introspective at all yet. I'm like, he may have that in his bag at some point. I don't know. But for now, it's like, if you just want to hear someone like flexing on the beat, he'll do it. The hook, "She already chose while you tripping. She ain't that significant. Used to have a gimmick. Glad I never went big with it." I mean, it's catchy. It's clever. I'm interested to know what his gimmick used to be that he's glad he didn't go big with. But at least it seems like he's wise enough to recognize he's trying to not fall into some of these traps, you know?
Yeah, there's definitely self-awareness in his lyricism, for sure.
The next track, number 5, Out Front, has some pretty catchy sing-song lyrics, which kind of reminded me of another relatively new artist is in breaking out into the like the big time. Sounds a little bit like Russ, who I remember giving you a shout out about like several months ago, and you weren't quite feeling it, but I'm a fan. But I just thought there were some similarities there, actually.
You know, that's exactly who I was gonna say this track reminded me of.
Interesting.
Russ has a single out on the radio.
Yeah, he's had a couple singles over the last year and a half, like maybe one or two or three of them that have gotten some good rotation. I can't remember the names off the top of my mind. But I wonder, yeah, these artists, since we're going for comparisons earlier, I guess you could throw Russ in there as well as another slightly similar one.
True. I was not really feeling this track.
Yeah, it was like, eh. The next track, Hey Big Head, I thought he did well lyrically. It's kind of just like a nice heavy banger. I didn't write down too much of like any lines that really grabbed me, but it had like some momentum to it.
The beat was definitely Trilly McTrilltrill.
There you go.
There was a lyric that caught me. He said 56 Sugar Mama off of Craigslist. just saying some off the wall type shit.
See, that is creative. Like, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's better than just like, you know, the whatever, like, I'm cool and you're shitty basic wordplay.
It's like he can flow when he wants to, and that's what I wasn't getting with some of these other tracks. It's like he wasn't
right.
He wasn't really trying as hard.
That's like your A-list lyric versus your B-list lyric on some of the other tracks.
I mean, I'm not a lyricist myself, but I know anytime I'm making a beat, I want to make sure my latest beat is better than the one I did previously. And I know, or at least I hope, a lot of these artists have that type of mentality.
Yeah, especially when it's only a 7-track EP and like you're getting a lot of support now, you're getting some label push. I mean, if there's 7 tracks, I would say like they damn well better be all like amazing, or, you know, maybe one, but like he does have 2, maybe 3 here that are like just okay. There's 1 or 2 that are even like kind of semi skippable to me.
Foreshadowing the overall.
Well, the fun, let's see, the Once May Comes, last thing, pretty chill song, just kind of ends. And I don't know, it's funny because like I just said, some of the tracks are great and some are forgettable, but it still just feels like it's over too soon after 7 tracks. It's just compared to, I'm not saying I want another 18 to 28 track album like some of the ones we've been dissecting lately, because that's what rappers keep doing nowadays. But
Lord have mercy.
But like, I don't know, 7 is pretty short. I guess if they're going to call it an EP or whatever, but it's still a little bit short for it to be kind of like a major debut.
You know what was a great 7-track album?
What?
Try to think on that.
Give me a hint, like what's the time frame here or something.
Kanye produced.
Oh, is it Watch the Throne?
No, 7 tracks.
So yeah, I'm not. Was it Kids See Ghosts?
Close. Daytona.
Daytona. Was there only 7 tracks on there?
Yeah, Kanye did.
Yeah, it was kind of short, huh?
Yeah, he did several projects that were 7 tracks.
Some of those tracks are so good and so elaborate and like long, you know, like Kanye likes to make these opus type tracks that don't go for 2 minutes and 55 seconds and then end like the formula is. He's like, no, I'm going to make this like 5.5 minute song with some really weird interludes, but it's going to be amazing.
Talking about artistry versus your average run of the mill track.
Right, because like as amazing as What's Poppin' is, as far as like the everything from the production and everything else, some of the other stuff feels like paint by numbers, or you know, like just kind of the canned. But it's not bad. It's just it's not like staggeringly original. But the kid's only 22. You got to cut him some slack.
You're right, and it pains me with the overall rating that I'm going to give him.
Yeah, what do you got
with this album? I got 5 out of 10, and it's like. It's crazy because I had a 9 out of 10 for just What's Popping, but the yeah. rest of that album just didn't really live up. I guess my expectations were very, very high based off that single. And just after a couple spins of the album, I was just kind of disappointed. But, you know, he's 22 years old. Like you say, he's a young cat and he has plenty of room for growth. And I really hope he dives deep into the introspective side. I think he has some hidden gems, and I just really expect some bigger things from him in the future.
Cool. Yeah, I would tend to agree with you on most of those points. I would waver and maybe just give him a 6 out of 10, just because of the strength of What's Popping. Like that song is such a smash hit. I think that like even if the rest of the album is kind of so-so, that song puts him over the top. Is at least, you know, if 5 is like just bang on, like really mediocre average, like that song's got to up it just a little bit. But you know, I do hope to see more from him with, you know, if he can get some production that's a little more just consistent in terms of and a little more creative, great. And then, you know, he's got the delivery. If he can take some of those, you know, they're very good lyrics, but if he can take them, like you said, like that Craigslist liner, if he can take him to the weird, like quirky creative end, I think it'll be much for the better than if he tries to just kind of stick with whatever the program is. And you know, you don't want the kid to become like another Asher Roth or some other kind of, you know, throwaway frat rep.
Or Mac Miller going too far off that creative end and
letting yeah. Because Mac Miller started out with very similar, like some very cool beats and some that were, again, in the sort of more generic, whatever line of rapping. And it same for his lyrics. But he evolved. And then, of course, you know, he flew too close to the sun. So we'll see what's yet to come. But I would say I'm going to keep listening to any like stuff he releases, like to see how it is, at least.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Cool. So that was our first album, and the next one we're going to discuss here is PTSD, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder, by G Herbo. Got a little bit of background on him just to kind of spark off the conversation, and then, you know, we'll talk about the music a little bit. But so this is the third studio album by G Herbo. Came out in February 2020. It's got a lot of big time artists on it. He's got features from like 21 Savage, A Boogie with the Hoodie, BJ Chicago Kid, Chance the Rapper, Juice WRLD, Lil Uzi Vert, Polo G. I mean, it's pretty stacked. And it went all the way up to number 7 on the Billboard chart. And, you know, a couple of months later, I think at the end of May, he decided to drop a deluxe version, which had, guess how many additional songs were on the deluxe version?
18.
Yeah, it's like high teens. So the total now is what? It's in the 20s if you combine the original release and then the, you know, the extra songs. Which again, like, so I can kind of see this as both a blessing and a curse. And we'll talk about the album in a little more detail, but it's hard to put that many tracks in a project and have them all be, you know, top notch. So there's some inconsistencies when you have that much, I don't want to call it filler, but like some of it's just not really, some of it's not great. Some of them it's really, really good. And some of it's not. But he said in his interview, he's like, look, like there's so much to talk about. And, you know, obviously in our current day and age, and like, so his lyrics focus mostly on depictions of like street life, street violence, or just, you know, like the come up black youth reality in America. And it's like, this is a perspective that people are really eager to hear, in this current like climate and, you know, with all the sea change of what's going on in our culture and our society. So, I mean, G Herbo, he grew up in Chicago as a young kid. He dropped out of school when he was 16. And started, you know, just rapping. And he talks a lot about sort of like the trap life as well, being on the block. You, before we talk more about that, you lived in Chicago. What, I mean, we hear about Chicago in the news all the time, and what sort of perspective can you lend to this?
Yeah, I don't think people really grasp how segregated Chicago is. As a city, you know, it's almost even, you have like, I don't even want to say 1950s or anything like that, but there's just, there almost seems like a purposeful segregation. When I was living in Chicago, I lived in the South Loop, and it's just south of downtown.
But that's not the same as South Side, like you hear in all the rap songs, like South Side Chicago, the, you know, Chirac, so to speak.
No. That's like, you're talking at least below 55th Street. So when those numbers get higher, you know, it definitely gets more dangerous. And the gang life is prolific. And, you know, everyone has their territory. You could be on one block. One gang has this block, and then the very next block, you're in a different gang territory. Now, I did go to church. I went to church down in the rougher parts of town. And, you know, the craziest thing, you would hear gunshots on a Sunday. I mean, people were shooting each other on a Sunday. So, you know, these lyrics that Herbo's talking about, I mean, like, it's real. It is absolutely real. And, you know, like you said, it's good that, you know, for people to hear this young man speak. He has something to say. And the lyrics are definitely poignant, especially I really liked his big single, PTSD, with all, there's a lot of features on that particular
there track. Are. Yeah, I think that's an easy choice as the most accessible song, both because of the content and because of, you know, all the guest appearances on there. I mean, people, a lot of the young kids love Juice WRLD, and like Chance the Rapper is now, you know, a superstar.
RIP Juice WRLD.
Right. Another one who flew too close to the sun. Yeah, I mean, this is crazy, but like this is the kind of stuff that's going on out here. To your point about Herbo, I mean, this, some people have called some of his music drill music. He kind of argues against that. Drill music being kind of an interesting juxtaposition of combinations of almost like UK grime type beats, or like, you know, hard, dark beats. And then what we would traditionally think of as sort of, you know, trap music, but a little bit more pacey sometimes, a little bit just more harsh. But anyway, I mean, drill music and this style of music has been by some critics kind of panned as being lyrically bankrupt, or just basically, you know, straight up glorifying violence and like all the difficult parts of that world. Whereas Herbo has kind of, he's separated himself a bit in the fact that he can make a song that's kind of, you know, from the perspective of the hardcore, you know, gangbanger talking shit, but he can also make one where you can kind of feel him like weeping, sort of crying into his lyrics about the, like the sadness of loss and everything, you know, that he's gone through. And in fact, He said this album was inspired by mandatory therapy that he had to go to when he was arrested back in 2018. His, like, I think lawyer and therapist wanted him to work on this stuff to, because his upbringing and, you know, all the violence and everything that he went through, you know, clearly left some PTSD, as you can see in the lyrics if you're listening to the album.
Absolutely. And for the individuals who find his lyrics inaccessible, or even this type of music genre just like unrelatable, you know, those are the people that definitely need to pay a little bit closer attention to the lyrics, because there's bigger social, societal context to all of that.
Yes, this is very true. And I mean, he's young. He's only like early 20s as well. So he's got a lot of youthful perspective to share. And honestly, with everything going on, without getting, you know, deep into it, it's just, I think it's really interesting to appreciate his perspective, because he'll state things how, like, you know, they feel, they being, you know, him and other similar, like, young Black youth in these situations, they often feel sort of trapped, like their choices are either, you know, it's like kill or be killed. It's like, you know, it's the lion's den out there, where it's like, no, I'm not just going to go get a job at McDonald's or, you know, CVS or something, because, you know, somebody is probably like might come and get me regardless, even if I try to stay on the right path. So it's like, why wouldn't I try to, you know, make more money and carry a gun and get into that lifestyle? It's, I mean, and this is not new to rap at all, but it's just very, it's very poignant given the current times that we're in.
Well, especially just in Chicago as well, where it seems like these things are happening every day and just really
keeps. Yeah, do you see the news cycle even in the last couple of weeks and over some of the holiday weekends? There's like tens, I'm like not a couple, like tens of people getting shot to death in Chicago on a given weekend, some of them being like little kids.
Don't know what we're going to do, except listen to this music. And
listen to the music, at least, you know.
Yeah.
So there's way too many tracks to, like, dissect all of them. I'll just say that if you've heard of the producer Zaytoven, he has a lot of credits on the production on this album. So it's definitely of the more, you know, hard-hitting, trappy type of brand. I want to skip forward to a couple of tracks just that I particularly liked. And again, just to try to paint the picture a little bit with some of what we've been talking about. So there's a song, track 5, In a Minute, might be, it's one of my favorite tracks. It features actually like a remixed beat of Jay-Z's Hard Knock Life. You remember that song?
Of course.
Not Hard Knock Life, the song. It's off of the album. The song is It Was All Good Just a Week Ago, which I don't know. Most people don't even know that song, but when I was like a kid growing up, that song, like, I jammed out to that song. So it's a cool beat. And then, like, so here's some of the lyrics. Paint a little picture of Chicago. So, roaches, rats everywhere, what you know about it. Shit got normal, had to go around it. Want to get some money? Tell me how I go about it. Everything you ever loved, you got to go without it. Struggling, I know about it. Ma could only ever rent with her check. Ain't get no allowance. Nico showed me how to hustle. I ain't know where the pound is. You get all that for that? I was so astounded. My mama told me not to talk to strangers, but mine even know every time she watched me leave the house, her baby life was in danger. Most of the dudes you grew up with acting like strangers, it be the strangers who genuine as life changes. I'm so full of anger, but I don't want to be angry.
Wow.
End scene.
Wow. I mean, if you're, it's like listening to those lyrics, it's like you put on your psychologist hat, and like this dude's hurting, and he's just pouring it out into his rhymes and making it very, very clear that he did not have an easy upbringing. And I want to piggyback off of the Jay-Z and kind of jump around since there are a lot of tracks from this album.
Sure.
The intro track. He definitely, I think, was off Jay-Z's Dynasty album.
Oh, there was there is this track titled Friends and Foes. You're right. I didn't even notice that little shout out, but yeah, Friends and Foes. That's an old Jay-Z track.
Absolutely. No, it wasn't Friends and it is Friends and Foes. You're right. Yeah.
I think from Reasonable Doubt, right? Friends and Foes was a track off of that. Friends and
Foes from Reasonable Doubt, but then there was another, the intro track, where it's from Jay-Z's Dynasty. It's the first.
Oh, it's like the beat itself is
the beat itself.
A remix. Cool, cool. I did not notice that.
Absolutely. And one of his lyrics that kind of stuck out to me, he said, "You just like us, they rob us of our innocence." You know, and just even the emotion that he was, you know, drawing from was like, he was rapping like his children needed that milk money. It just captured me.
Yeah, I mean, we've had this discussion. I know that like the heavy drill and trap like sounds often are not your favorite. And obvious, I mean, again, like in certain contexts, it's better than others. But regardless of even like the sonics, I feel like you could not even like hip hop. But if you sat down and like read some of the lyrics, it would be just an interesting sort of bit of poetry and an interesting perspective, almost like an op-ed piece, you know, that could be out of like the Chicago Sun or something.
Exactly.
And to his credit, you know, he's gotten caught up in a lot of stuff, as you know, many rappers have in their past, but apparently he has been doing some kind of charity work for the development of a former elementary school in Chicago. I think it's called Anthony Overton Elementary, but I guess he's trying to help fund and get some programs going that would give like equipment for the kids there to learn how to become musicians and do some like after school sports programs and stuff. So, I mean, that's great. So you try to be, you know, getting people off of the streets and into some more productive outlets.
Absolutely. And it's strange how he can have lyrics like that, but be involved with work like that.
Yeah, let me ask you that, because I sometimes it feels hypocritical as a listener, and you know, I think it's fair to say you could at times, like, it's not like you have one fluid mental or emotional state. Like sometimes a person can be very angry and very violent and very upset, and other times a person could be very remorseful or nostalgic or whatever else. So, you know, maybe it's not fair to judge him, but doesn't it seem a bit hypocritical to like in one song, you know, mourn the violence and in another song announce that you're going to be committing more of it?
Yeah, I mean, but you just kind of, you know, stated it clearly. We're complex individuals who experience, you know, many emotions, and like Urbo is no exception. Even though he says these very violent things, I mean, I always look at an individual's actions, and it speaks volumes when he's doing charitable work like that.
Right.
You know, if the rhymes are, you know, violent, that's just his given artistry, because that's the environment that he grew up in. But, you know, again, just show me what actions you're doing. That speaks more to his character. It's like, again, he's calling out for help, and he's just letting his soul outpour from his music.
And again, I mean, because it's such a long album, I don't want to talk about all like 28 all 28 tracks you get on the deluxe version. But going back to PTSD, like sort of the big single. Some of the lyrics here, the hook or the chorus, sung by Juice WRLD. I forgot, Lil Uzi Vert's also on this. But so the hook says, "I turn the news on when I smell death in the air. I prove you wrong. I made it out of here. I don't belong. I see my past everywhere. Don't stand too close to me. Eternal PTSD. I got a war zone inside of my head. I made it on my own. They said I'd be in jail or dead." So that's the hook. And then, I mean, checking in with Chance, a little snippet from his verse. He says, "We seen it all. Don't get involved. Carry the weight of the world like a shawl. Conceal and revealing to people in court. I can still feel it. I know that the world is evil. In case you thought I forgot it, when my homie was bleeding out, another homie went in his pockets."
Wow. I mean, again, just painting that imagery about like how raw life can be. How raw life can be in the hood. I mean, all these people, I mean, Chicago has a rich diversity of rappers who all grew up in that same area. Mm-hmm. And they can really paint that picture. I think I caught one of Urbo's lyrics just real quick, lamenting he made all that money but can't have fun with none of his homies.
Yeah.
It's like he's starting to get put on, but like none of his homies are there to, you know, reap the benefits of probably just encouraging him to, you know, do the music thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, I feel like those lyrics resonate with a lot of the kids who grew up in the hood. And it's just a lot of unresolved trauma going on.
This is definitely something that, you know, people are increasingly aware of now, but it's very much true. And, you know, it's been going on a long time, which is why that very tragic scenario you just described from his lyrics is something that is like a tale as old as time in hip hop, you know, going back to, I guess, more like the, you know, late 80s or early 90s when hip hop started to get particularly like, you know, political and more expressive and more gritty. You know, we've heard that tragedy before, and, you know, it's just something that's kind of going to be a part of the storytelling in this genre.
Absolutely.
So, final impressions. You know, I think it's a very hard-hitting, graphic depiction of you know, major issues going on in our country these days. It's too long. There's too much filler. I do actually like most of the songs on here, but it's just so long. It's a lot. Like when you have to sit down and spend almost like, you know, 2 hours to listen through, it's just a lot. So I ended up giving this a 6 out of 10. I thought if maybe it had been shortened to just like the very, very best songs, it could have been really special, because as you've seen with some of these lyrics, they're great, but he tried to do a little too much. There's just like, there's a little bit too much going on for me. So 6, what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely didn't even get through every single track because there's just too many tracks. Kind of like our old buddy Future.
Right, and some of them sound pretty similar, kind of like Future. So, yeah.
Absolutely. There's definitely... The lyrics, I felt, man, and his energy is just pure, and he just let his soul out. I'm gonna agree 6 out of 10 on the basis that it was just too long. If there was just some of the better tracks that were highlighted, it would have been a better album to get through. But I fuck with them. I definitely do. Like when it comes to trap artists, and you won't hear me say this, but I don't even know if he classifies himself as a trap artist.
Who's that? G Herbo?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's basic. He's kind of the torchbearer for being the kid who will do the drill trap that actually like has some, like, you know, expresses a lot of the remorse and like the sadness in a very clear and open way. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, I will be looking forward to his future projects.
As will I. And I think, again, it's just, man, I wish quality over quantity, you know, always. But it's definitely worth listening to. If you want to start with just the regular PTSD, go for it. If you want the whole experience, the deluxe album does have a lot of good tracks on it, too. But it's time to close out with a couple last little remarks, including any other heat to check out that you've been listening to lately, some hot shit that people should try to find.
Man, I've been on vacation. I've been staring at, listening to the ocean sounds, you know, chilling. Have you been fucking with anything lately?
Unfortunately, no ocean sounds. Pretty landlocked. But until I'm able to travel to an ocean again, I will just stick to listening to music. So for me, I found myself going down the rabbit hole the last week or so with another shout out to the Midwest region. And Chicago won't like this, but we just gave Chicago all that shine. So it would be only fair to give Detroit a little love. The album, Sincerely Detroit, produced by a man by the name of Apollo Brown.
Oh my.
He is an amazingly talented boom bap producer. All kinds of great like soul samples weaved into, you know, those nice chunky drums, much similar to guys we've discussed in other episodes, sort of like your DJ Premier's, not quite a J Dilla, but you know, very, very soulful production. And he, this album, Sincerely Detroit, he recruited, he's obviously from there. He recorded all local artists to feature on something like, you know, either it was like 15 to 20 tracks, something like that. It was long, but this was like, this was done all by one very talented producer. So it's cohesive. And the whole theme is basically just, again, sort of a, some of it's storytelling, some of it's a love letter to the city of Detroit. But you'll hear from some artists on there like Black Milk, Slum Village, Royce da 5'9", Bronze Nazareth, and so on. It's a very cool project that I had on repeat this week, so check it out.
Definitely going to check that out. Anytime you say Slum Village.
You know, that's a nice throwback, but trust me, Apollo Brown, as producers as ourselves, you know, and by now you probably have been enjoying some of the little beats on the intros and outros to these episodes. As producers ourselves, like I would aspire to be like Apollo Brown when it comes to sampling. Like the way he's able to sample and drop things in, drop those little hits in, like exactly where it feels so right, it's so natural. So for anyone who has not yet gotten a chance, please go out and listen to that. I think you'll enjoy it.
Dope.
All right, bro. Well, it's about that time to wrap it up. And can't wait for the next episode. We'll have some more cool shit to listen to and a lot more to talk about. Anything you want to say as we sign off?
Peace and love. Peace and love to all.
That sounds like a plan. All right. Peace, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on the next one.